Thank you, Brother Greg, and thanks for coming tonight. Always a pleasure to share the Word of God with everyone. My passage is actually in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 32 to 35, but as an intro, I wanted to turn to Luke. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. And we'll read the scripture here, we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just do thank you for your word. And Lord, as I speak tonight, Lord, I just pray that it may not be me speaking, but your word speaking, Lord. And so, Lord, may the Holy Spirit work through me for the teaching. And Lord, that you might be glorified this evening for these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of was thinking about Christmas and how busy we all get, and we're doing this and that, and so I kind of wanted to kind of step back and talk about the busyness of life, busy, B-U-S-Y-N-E-S-S, and so I just look at my own life, and I know, you know, the family's here, and we're all busy doing a lot of things, you know. And so I think sometimes we have to be reminded, we just got to step back sometimes and then really focus on what's truly important, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so I got an excerpt of a sermon, and forgive me for reading, but I thought this is pretty good. This is an excerpt of a sermon by Adrian Dieleman of Trinity United Reformed Church in Visalia. And this is what, I just took part of his sermon. In our scripture passage, which I just read in Luke, we have someone who was too busy. Her name was Martha. It seems that one day, she suddenly had 13 guests drop in for dinner. And of course, the 13 guests are Jesus and his disciples. Jesus and disciples had been traveling in the area and unexpectedly dropped in. So like thousands of hosts and hostesses around the world, Martha started a frenzy of activity in order to entertain and feed her guests. Martha was so busy serving, she didn't have the time to converse with her guests. Even more important, Martha didn't have time to listen to Jesus. She was too busy preparing the meal to take time out to hear the words of the Master. Verse 40 says it all. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The Greek word translated as distracted literally means to be pulled or dragged away. Can you picture a team of workhorses pulling a big tree stump out of a field? In the same way, Martha's work pulled or dragged away her attention from Jesus. Martha wanted to listen, but she only heard bits and pieces of the conversation. Being the good hostess that she was constantly jumping up and down in order to fill cups, ladle out food, pass dishes around, stir the dessert, and so forth. She wanted to listen, but was distracted by the pressure of being a good hostess. And I know, you know, we've all here hosted a party, and you can all identify with that. You know, you're so busy trying to make everybody happy that you don't really stop and listen sometimes. In direct contrast to Martha was Mary, her sister. In verse 39, it tells us that Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. It was customary in the Middle East for students to sit at the feet of their teacher. So like a student, Mary sat at the feet of the great teacher, Jesus Christ. Also in Israel at that time, women were discouraged from getting an education, either at school or in the synagogue or temple, but Mary wanted to learn from Jesus and was eager to learn. Martha, it seems, did not appreciate this. While running back and forth, she noticed that Mary was sitting down with Jesus. Here, she was so busy with 13 unexpected guests for dinner, and her sister was sitting down. So Martha went to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." How fair and just this request sounds. Surely Jesus is embarrassed by Mary's lack of activity. Surely he sees how Martha is running around and will tell Mary to help out. This may be our reaction, but that isn't how Jesus reacts. Did you notice what Martha said? According to her, "My sister has left me to do the work by myself." In other words, Mary had been helping, but now she thought it more important to sit down and listen to Jesus. She had been working, but now she said enough, threw down her apron, and sat at Jesus' feet. So in reply to Martha, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." These words indicate a worldly attitude, a preoccupation with the things of the world. These words indicate that a person's attention is upon the material realm rather than the spiritual realm. These words indicate that Martha is more concerned about feeding Jesus than on being fed by his word. What is said about Martha can be said about most of Western society today. The attention of most people today is away from God and upon the world and the material realm. People today, like Martha, are worried and upset. They are concerned not about God and the things of God, but about money, jobs, homes, farms, cars, vacations, recreation. As proof, consider this. 99% of all Americans say they believe in God, yet only 41% attend church every week. Most people today are more concerned about their possessions or their work than about God and the state of their soul. So that was the excerpt of that sermon. I thought it was pretty good. Now bring it closer to home. This is a copy of an email that from our family. And you'll probably figure out who posted this. We had award ceremonies, and I know the Noriels and the Kongs could probably relate to this. We had award ceremonies tonight for CAA. Isaac's team came in first, and Elena received a Most Inspirational Player Award. Just thought I'd share. Tomorrow is Boy Scouts Christmas Fellowship. Thursday is the Living Bethlehem. Friday is Jay's Junior High School Party. Saturday is a tea. Sunday is church and the voyage of the Dawn Treader. Next week, we have Handel's Messiah, James Company Party, James Extended Family Party, two birthday parties, one of them being mine, and hospitalization for Dorothy. I think she was just kidding there. When will I finish my shopping to do my baking and complete all the homework? I'll never know. I think I'll start by sleeping. And so that just brings it closer to home, right? We're all like, we're just so busy. And sometimes we forget, you know, to step back and to listen to God's word. And so what I did was just, I was thinking, what verses can I pull out about listening to God's word? So if you can turn to Proverbs chapter 9, this is actually the verse I chose for this evening. Chapter 9, verses 32 to 35. Let's read that. Proverbs chapter 9, 32. Oh, I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 8, 32 to 35. Sorry. You're right, Greg. You get a little nervous up here. It's a very awesome task to preach. So Proverbs chapter 8, 32 to 35. Now therefore, hearken unto me, hearken or listen, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And so those are the verses I chose. And I thought, you know, what a clear and concise message on hearkening or listening to the word of God. You've got in verse 32, you listen in obedience. In verse 33, you listen to instruction. In verse 34, you're listening and watching for the coming of the Lord. And then in verse 35, you listen and find life. You know, what more can we ask for? So verse 32, listen in obedience. Look at verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. And what is that? It's obedience. Blessed are they that keep or obey my commandments. If you please turn to Deuteronomy 26:16. We'll look at obeying with our whole heart. Deuteronomy 26:16. What does that say? It says, "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thine soul." So that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to listen in obedience. We have to listen with our whole heart, not just half a heart. And the Lord wants us to obey just sometimes. Andy, does the Lord just want us to obey sometimes? No, he wants us to obey at all times. If you turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So we are to meditate on God's word day and night. And that's why I look forward so much. You know, Pastor and Raquel give us the deacons, the calendar with the verses every day. And sometimes, just like everybody else, you know, it's hard for me to get up. I'm not a morning person. You know, the alarm clock rings. I'm sitting there rushing out the door. And sometimes I got to be honest with you, I don't read the Word of God like I should. But then I have that calendar with the verse, and at least I got a verse, you know, to start me off during the day, and that's a blessing. So we have to feed ourselves the Word of God throughout the day, and then God tells us it's our duty. If you turn to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man." So that's our duty. You know, it's our duty to obey God rather than man. So obedience. We have to do it with our whole heart. We have to do it at all times. And we do it because it's our duty. And then we do it because we are, what, a peculiar treasure unto God. If you look at Exodus 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. It says, "Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant or my promise, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So we do it, and if we obey God's word and we obey his commandments and we obey it at all times as good as we can, we are a peculiar treasure unto God. You know, and Greg did a great message this morning about not only does he give us salvation and he takes away our sin, but then he gives us blessing on top of that. I mean, what more could we want? I thought up a couple of examples, or three examples, of obedient people in the Bible. In Job, if you turn to Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, we can read about Job real quick. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Let me turn there. It talks about Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and eschewed evil or hated evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, and everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" So obviously Job obeyed the commandments of the Lord. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And so you all know the story. Basically Job's family gets taken away. His health gets taken away. I mean, everything kind of falls apart for Job. And then he's got friends that come and, you know, come to him and kind of counsel him. And we all know the counsel was, you know, not good counsel. And if you turn to the end of Job, in Job chapter 42, and throughout all this, my point is throughout all this, Job obeyed the Lord, right? And he didn't even curse the Lord. And we all know that, what did his wife say, right? Curse God and die. And Job didn't do that. And if you look at the end of Job and turn to verse 12 to 17, or read 12 to 17 with me, it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days." And so he was blessed. He was an obedient man, and God had blessed him. So Job was a good example of an obedient man. And then there's Joshua. If you look at Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. Joshua 11:15. Let's turn there. Joshua 11, verse 15. What does it say? "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." And, you know, we've all gone through the book of Joshua. We went through that in Sunday school. I mean, God told him to wipe out kings. He wiped out kings. We know about Jericho, right? God told him, gave him instruction, you know, go around the city, blow the trumpet and everything, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And so Job was obedient unto the end, and God, the part of the verse here that really struck me is, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So he followed God's word. And then there was Noah. I don't want to turn, it's Genesis 6:22 is my reference, but what I wanted to say, Noah is, as Noah was obedient also, and he built an ark, right, in the middle of a dry land. People were telling him he was nuts, but yet Job obeyed God and did according to his commandments. So those are three examples of people obeying God. So back to listening, back to Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 32. So we're to listen, you know, listen in obedience. Now verse 33, listen to instruction. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 33, listen to instruction. It says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Why? It will make us wise unto salvation. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 17. Let me just get there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 to 17, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So we all know the verse 16 there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. So we have God's instruction here already, and somehow, for whatever reason, a lot of times we don't listen to it. I was just having a conversation with a guy, one of my friends at work. I've known him probably for about 12 years. He's one of our top salesmen. And they're Christian couple, and he actually sat under Pastor Otero when Pastor had the church in Alameda, and he mentioned that to me when I told him who my pastor was. And he's going through, right now, him and his wife are going through, you know, the kids have left, and they're going through some, you know, some tough times. And he mentioned to me they were seeing Christian counselors, okay? So I was just talking to him. In fact, I was just talking to him last week, and he was saying that when they counsel him, they basically, you know, ask him about how does it feel, and when they counsel his wife, they ask her, well, you know, when your husband does this, how does that make you feel, right? And I kept on listening to him, and a lot of the things that the counselors were telling him to do or her to do is basically, okay, when this happens, you know, how does that make you feel? Or you want to ask the person, do you know you make me feel this when you do this, right? And so I was thinking, you know, I told him, well, why don't you just go back to the Word of God instead of the way you feel? Because the way you feel, it's not going to be the same every day. It's going to change, right? And so, to me, you know, they spend hours and hours going to counseling. And the bottom line is, after talking to them for about 20 minutes, I go, you know, I asked them, is the counseling, do you think the counseling is helping? And he said, actually, when we started counseling, I think he has a pretty good handle on the Word of God. So a lot of the things that the counselor tells him, he kind of puts away, right? He goes back to the Word of God. But then his wife seems to hang on to that. And when his wife starts questioning him, you know, he says to his wife, you know, is it really you that's questioning me? Or are those the questions the counselor is asking you to ask me, right? So it's not really his wife asking him those questions. And so I asked him, you know, you think this counseling is doing you any good? And he said, you know, I think it's kind of worse now than it was before we went to these Christian counseling sessions. And so it's like, you know, the Word of God, it's what's right there. You know, Pastor always drills this into our heads in Ephesians, right? Husbands, what are we supposed to do? Love your wives, right? And then wives, submit yourselves to the husbands. Children, obey your parents. I mean, it's all in the scripture. And we get so busy, or we want some complex explanation that we don't go back to the simple word of God, the truth, and just listen. So listen to instruction. You know, who was a good example of listening to instruction? Abraham. If you turn to Genesis 22, verses 2 and 3, we see how faithful this man Abraham is, and he was willing to sacrifice his own son, right? Genesis 22, verses 2 and 3. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell of thee." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the word for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. So Abraham listened to instruction, whatever God instructed him to do, and he gave him specific instructions on how to kill his own son. Yet we all know the event when Abraham lifted up the knife, right? God stops him, and then Abraham was blessed. He was blessed, you know, with many nations, father of many nations, and he was one of the pillars of our church. And so that was a good example of listening to instruction. God's word is also, we all know the verse John in the book of John 1:1, right? In the beginning was the word, and the word, I better read it so I don't misquote it. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So we know the instruction basically is manifestation of God. So we need to listen to his instruction. Then if you go back to Proverbs 8 in verse 34, so we've got listen in obedience, listen to God's instruction. It's all here in God's word. We just have to read it. We just have to dig. And then listen and watch. And in verse 34 in Proverbs chapter 8, it says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." And you know, when I was reading this, I always think about Sunday mornings when we end Sunday school, and then the kids like are ready to go out the door, right, to go into Sunday school. And they're excited. They want to get into Sunday school, right? I hope they wanted to get into Sunday school. But when I was reading, waiting at the posts of my doors, you know, we should have that same excitement that the kids have of wanting to go into Sunday school, right? We've got to have that same excitement of you know, waiting for the Lord to come. And sometimes we get so busy, we don't have that excitement. Instead, we're weighted down by all this stuff that we got to do and get accomplished. And so we've got to watch. You know, we've got to watch for the Lord's coming. In Matthew, if you turn to Matthew 25:13, there's a good verse there, Matthew 25:14. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants." Let's see, is that right? 25:13, I'm sorry. "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Okay? So we're supposed to be watching. Will we know when it comes? No. You know, there's talk about it being in May of next year. I don't know how they get around this verse, but it says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man come." So we're supposed to listen to God and watch for his coming. And then in Revelation 16:15, if you look at that verse, Revelation 16:15. Revelation 16:15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So we've got to watch and make sure we keep our garments. And if we have the right garments, right? Because if we have Christ and his blood, what kind of garments are we going to have? We're going to have, our garments are going to be white as snow, right? We're going to be pure under the blood of Jesus. And then we're to watch as children of light in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 through 6. We can read about watching as the children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. And that says, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And what is God telling us there? It doesn't mean that we can't physically sleep. We need our sleep, you know. But it says we've got to be awake. We've got to know God's word. We've got to study God's word. So therefore, we're not overtaken with temptation, and we're not overtaken with what the devil puts in front of us. So we have to watch as children of light and walk in the light. And then Titus is a good example of listening and watching. If you turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, let me just read that. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So there was a good example of a man that was watching, listening and watching. And then if you go back to Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 35, another reason we should listen is to have life. For whoso findeth me findeth life, it says, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And what kind of life do we have? Abundant life. Look in John 10:10. We have abundant life. If you read John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So God, in his mercy and his grace, has given us abundant life, a life that we have forever, that you know, we could live and serve him forever. And then eternal life. Look at Romans 5:21. Romans 5:21 says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have righteousness, and we reign with Christ eternally, and that's because we have the gift of salvation. And that's why we were talking about this in my Sunday school class this morning is, you know, we were talking about Judas and why he had killed himself is because he didn't have what? He didn't have hope, right? And he didn't listen. He had Jesus right there, right next to him, but he didn't really listen to him. And he had the sin of unbelief. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was Lord. So he went to the Sanhedrin and he said, you know, I've turned Jesus in wrongly. He really hasn't committed any sin. And what did the Sanhedrin say? You know, it's too, yeah, not my problem, you know. And they said, we don't want that money. It's blood money. Like, that was completely hypocritical. But he had a chance to listen to Jesus, and he never did. So my conclusion is, so during this Christmas season, who can we identify with? Are we to be so busy like Martha? Too busy with our shopping? Are you done Christmas shopping yet? I know, I just started. Preparing for those parties, worrying and stressing over things we need to do. And we really, I mean, we all get caught up in it, right? Or should we be like Mary? You know, should we stop, you know, put down our apron or whatever she did, stop what we're doing, take a step back, breathe, right? Right? It's just like when you go out camping and you go, wow, how come I don't do this more often, right? And breathe and sit at Jesus' feet, you know, open up our Bible and read it, for what it is, so we can listen to his words. You know, and when I was writing this last paragraph, I was thinking about that song, you know, wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. And that's what we have here. It's a special book, and we should get into it. So in conclusion, to wrap up the message, I picked Luke, if you wanted to turn to Luke 9:35, Luke chapter 9, verse 35. And this verse was right after the transfiguration, and you had Moses and Elijah there, and God talks, right? And Luke 9:35 says, "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved son.'" And what does he tell us to do? Hear him. So my desire for not only myself, but for all of us, is that we might, you know, step back a little bit, even as we get into the business of life, and sit at Jesus' feet and hear him. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we just do thank you for this reminder, Lord. We all need it. And Lord, we get caught up so much in the things that we have to do, our work and our family, our activities. Not that that's bad, Lord, but sometimes it could be all-consuming. So forgive us, Lord, if we take the time that you give us and worry about so many things that we have to do. Help us, Lord, in our lives to kind of step back and open up your word and just meditate on the words of life that you give us, Lord. And we know that if we do this in our lives, we will be blessed and we will be stronger and we will be able to fight the temptations that Satan brings forth in front of us, Lord. And so thank you for this time. Be with our pastor and help him to relax with his family. Help him to have fun, that he might be refreshed and be able to come back and give us again your word. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share the word, and I just pray that you are honored during this time, Lord, and I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.